It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Lance Meadow. John Schmelk will be joining me a bit later on in the program. So glad you could join us. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, as we will recap the Broncos game and also look ahead to the Panthers contest as the Giants for the second straight season will head to Carolina to visit the Panthers. This was a team last year that they cruised past 36-7. In which the Giants set the tone, specifically on the ground. Andre Brown had a tremendous performance. You also had Ramses Barden, who had a breakout performance in that contest as well, and the Giants are looking to pick up where they left off dating back to last season. But this is a Carolina team that has displayed some really tough, gritty defense in the first 2 weeks of the season. They held the Seattle Seahawks to just 12 points. It was a late fumble by D'Angelo Williams that prevented them from getting that go-ahead touchdown. And then they went back and forth with the Buffalo Bills. It was a game they led, and E.J. Manuel got a late touchdown to Stevie Johnson. That was ultimately the difference. So the Giants' focus now turning to Carolina as they will look to notch their first victory of the season. And that will be Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And to help us break down the Broncos contest and also look ahead to the Carolina Panthers is Art Stapleton, who covers the New York Giants for the Record. Art, Lance Meadow, so glad you could join us. How's everything?
What's up, Lance? Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. We were talking in the pregame show over the weekend, Art, about the concerns with respect to the Giants' running game, and they did start David Wilson. This past weekend, we saw a little bit of Brandon Jacobs, but overall, 19 carries, just 23 yards. How much is on the running backs or how much is on the offensive line as to why the Giants just cannot get a consistent running game?
You know, I really think that a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. And if we go back to training camp and you know, when the injuries started happening and David Boss wasn't in there and all of a sudden you switch to, you know, in week three against the Jets, you put Jim Cordell at center, kept Kevin Booth at guard after David Deal had the unexpected thumb surgery. Then all of a sudden you flip back, you put Booth at center, you put Brewer at guard. I mean, the Giants' offensive line, and really any offensive line, is built on continuity. And this offensive line has not been together at all in training camp. And you go out there and you play a defense that's going to attack you the way, A, Dallas did in week one, and week two the way Denver did. I got to say, I mean, inexperience was a big problem with the running backs in week one. But week two, it's on this offensive line. There is no doubt in my mind that this team and this running game rests on the five guys that are standing in front of Eli Manning and the running backs.
And, Art, I thought you brought up a great point because I think a lot of people look at the Giants' offensive line and they see somebody go down, but they have some experienced backups, and they assume that the level of consistency in terms of pass protection and run blocking will continue. But as you mentioned, it's been a game of musical chairs. They had four different offensive lines during the course of the preseason. David Boss has been out in and out of the lineup. David Deal gets hurt. How difficult is it to maintain continuity when you are constantly shuffling players throughout the course of the preseason? They really haven't had a consistent offensive line. You'd have to go all the way back to last season at this point.
Yeah, they had three practices last week with David Boss at center, and he was limited, I believe, in all three. He was probable for the game and played on Sunday, but the reality is this group as a whole is not playing together, and they haven't played together. And even though, you think about all the talk we had in the preseason from the spring, and it was all Eli Manning and his wide receivers. Why aren't these guys playing together? They're going to miss a beat if Victor Cruz isn't here and Akeem Nix isn't here. And the reality is the same applies to the offensive line, maybe even more so. And I'm going to write this tomorrow. I'll give you a little sneak peek. But the reality is this offensive line, the worst fears for the Giants will be if this offensive line is not that good. And if they invested in Will Beatty and he's not what they thought, and Kevin Booth is just an average player, and David Boss doesn't reach his potential, and maybe Chris Snee's talk of retirement is on point, and Justin Pugh, all of a sudden Justin Pugh is the most reliable out of your offensive linemen. What about that? Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but that has to be a concern that has to be on the table for the Giants. That is a worst-case scenario, and right now they haven't done anything to prove otherwise.
And it doesn't matter what type of running back you have behind this offensive line. If the offensive line doesn't set the tone at the line of scrimmage, it could be a very long season for the New York Giants. You did touch on Eli Manning, and he's had 7 interceptions, Art, over the first 2 games. 2 of them came in the latter stages of the contest against the Broncos, in which they were trying to press the envelope and try to make something out of nothing. But how much of a concern is there in terms of Eli Manning's decision-making through the first 2 games?
I'm not concerned about Eli's decision-making. What I'm concerned about is the fact that he feels as though he needs to push the envelope because there are other things that are not available to him. Case in point, he was pretty blunt yesterday about, when he was asked about the play action, there is no play action. I mean, when you rush the ball 19 times for 23 yards, there is no play action. And he admitted yesterday that, any fakes that he does, the fakes could be the best in the world. The safeties aren't biting. Safeties are not coming up to the line of scrimmage to try to stop the run because they don't feel like they need to fill. They don't need to come up because teams are able to stop the Giants with their front personnel. So now the safeties are hanging back, and they're able to prevent the big play downfield. You notice the biggest play the Giants had in the game was the first snap they had offensively to Victor Cruz. Other than that, the Broncos were able to hang out in the secondary. So my worry for the Giants would be Eli Manning now feels that he's got to do even more. He's got to take these risks because he's not getting the plays that he needs downfield. And he even said yesterday, I'm going to gamble, I'm going to compete because I'm going to give my guys a chance to make a play. And if those mistakes are happening, it's because I feel like I have no other choice. And I think that's kind of where Eli is right now. They need this running game to be productive because everything else that they do offensively comes off of what they're able to do on the ground.
And if Eli Manning keeps putting up 49 passes each and every game, clearly they're going to put the football in harm's way, and you would assume that the turnovers would increase exponentially as a result. We're talking with Art Stapleton, who covers the New York Giants for the Record. When I look at this Broncos game, Art, aside from Eli Manning's interceptions, aside from the lack of the running game, to me, it came down to missed opportunities. You had Manning's interception late in the first half where they could have at least walked away with a field goal. Then you have Brandon Myers getting a pass over the middle. He loses his footing. That could have been a touchdown. How much of the performance this past Sunday was the Giants' own doing and not necessarily the Broncos' aggressiveness on defense?
Well, I think, the Broncos have had 2 games where you can point to a specific point in the game in the second half where the team that ended up losing, the Ravens in week 1 and the Giants in week 2, can look at and say, if we had only made a play here, the game would have been different. And I think you're going to find that in the NFL in a lot of games every single week for the entire season. The bottom line is when the plays needed to be made, the Broncos made them and the Giants didn't. And it sounds simple and it sounds cliche, but, the Giants have got to just get to the point where they make those plays. This team made the plays 2 years ago and they won the Super Bowl. Last year, they didn't make plays and they finished with the same regular season record and they didn't make the playoffs. And that was a bone of contention going into the offseason, is that the Giants talked about how we didn't make plays and we need to make plays and we need to make plays. You're 100% right. Both of these games were winnable games. And the reality is, because of the competition, maybe because of the quarterback you were playing, you know, maybe because of the inexperience you had in the backfield in week one, those plays were not made by your team, and you are now sitting at 0-2 because of that.
And part of the element in terms of getting consistency on offense and coming through with the big plays, I think, falls on the tight end spot. And we've seen Brandon Myers in the Cowboys game come on as of late. He made some plays against the Broncos, but as I touched on, also lost his footing and wiped away what could have been and what should have been a touchdown. Blocking and pass protection seems to be his major issue. That's not something, Art, that he was asked to do when he was with the Oakland Raiders. He was primarily a security blanket for Carson Palmer. Do they need to reevaluate how they utilize the tight ends right now? Because Bear Pascoe is known as the top blocker in that group. But when it comes to Brandon Myers, it seems, Art, he has a lot of room for improvement, especially in terms of helping build this running game and giving Eli Manning more time to throw the football.
It's definitely a fair point, Lance. I mean, you know, Brandon Myers was brought here to catch passes. I mean, that's what he did so well in Oakland last year. You know, you figure you bring him in here. I mean, the targets he's gotten in the first 2 weeks, I mean, he really had a, you know, you look at what he didn't do on Sunday against the Broncos. I mean, if he doesn't trip over the 20-yard line, you know, we may be talking about Brandon Myers as the next great tight end in New York. I mean, that's how crazy, you know, like you said, one or two plays here and there. You know, I don't even know if we've gotten to the point yet where we can zero in on the tight end and the blocking scheme and say the tight end is a weakness, because the offensive line is getting blown all over the place. I mean, that's the reality. They're back in the backfield. I mean, you had two plays last week where, you know, David Wilson and then Brandon Jacobs were both decked 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, you know, just after they get the handoff. So your point is a fair one regarding Myers. I'm just not sure if, you know, you almost want to deal with that if you get to the point where you can solve those other issues. But, you know, I don't know necessarily if Myers' inability as a blocker is really costing this team at this point, because what he has given you as a pass receiver is that much better than maybe what the other guys could do at this point.
Talking with Art Stapleton, who covers the New York Giants for The Record. When you look at the defensive side of things, the defense has not been put in favorable positions given the offensive struggles. But the one thing that is still lacking, Art, is the pass rush. And that was a big storyline last year. Most people thought, with JPP having surgery, getting back to full health, Justin Tuck looking very good in the preseason, they would get back to the numbers when they had 48 sacks compared to when it dropped off to 33. What has been the problem over these first two games as to why they consistently can't get to the quarterback?
You know, I had this feeling last year that, you know, I kept going back to it becomes excuses. It becomes the, you know, well, it's the schemes and, you know, we're trying to be more conservative and, you know, we're not letting guys get loose and go after the quarterback. You know, I honestly believe that some of this has to do with who the quarterbacks were that they faced in the first two games. I mean, I really do. I mean, people are tired of hearing it and tired of saying, well, you know, that's just excuses for the Giants' pass rush. But, you know, Peyton Manning especially, I mean, I think – you know, you're not going to put Peyton Manning on his back a lot. You know, and the way the game developed, you know, I thought the Giants played pretty well defensively. I think they played pretty well defensively in week one. You know, week one, the game plan was to be more conservative up front in the first half because of what Tony Romo did against them in the season opener last year, because of the too many swinging for the fences too much, which is what the Giants pass rush said last year. All the ends talked about how they lost their lane discipline and they allowed Romo to get out of the pocket and really killed them. You know, I think the pass rush is going to come back pretty good the next couple weeks. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because now you have a different style quarterback. You know, what they did to Cam Newton last year in the regular season, you know, no one expected the Giants to go in and batter Newton the way they did. So I'm sure the Carolina Panthers at 0-2 are coming in saying, you know what, we got to get some redemption here. But I think a lot of it has to do with Jason Pierre-Paul's health. You know, if he is 100% and, you know, he said clearly last week he was not, I'm still not ready to jump off the bandwagon of the Giants' pass rush. Maybe I'm a little naive at that point, but I still think there's something there, and I think the defensive tackles will certainly help in that.
And that's a fair point, Art. I would agree with you because I think also JPP's not 100%, and once he gets his legs underneath him, you would assume that the pass rush will continue and he'll be able to draw double teams. Before I let you go, one of the other bright spots, at least on defense to me, has been Terrell Thomas. And given some of the injuries that they've had in the secondary, Prince Amukamara had to deal with the concussion. He's been a nice security blanket to plug in out of the slot and use him even as a safety. What have you seen out of Terrell Thomas through these first two games?
It really is amazing to think that this guy hadn't played a regular season game in over 2 years, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's sitting in there, and he's arguably the most valuable player that the Giants have had, and maybe that's not even much of an argument. I think he's been very physical in that slot spot. It's not a small guy. You know, last year, when the Giants would go to three safety package, you know, they'd have a guy inside that would be Antrell Roll. Now, Antrell is physical, but Antrell's more of a rover and then hit. You know, when Terrell is in there, I mean, he's a run stopper. He's a run stopper who can also cover. And when you look at the job that he did against Wes Welker on Sunday, granted, Welker scores a touchdown, but I think it was three catches. That's just an incredible, incredible job for Terrell Thomas. And I think, you know, everything that they've been able to do in the slot has come from Terrell Thomas. And I think he's only going to get better and better as the season progresses. So I agree. I mean, there are guys on this defense, I think, who have had a surprisingly good start. And that's what makes it even more of a head-scratcher when you look at the results and you see the points that they've given up and you see the losses. I think this defense is a lot better than maybe what it looks like on paper right now, and that starts with Terrell Thomas.
And Antrell Roll and company have certainly echoed and voiced those sentiments in terms of that they are better than what their record shows, and they'll look to prove that come this Sunday in Carolina. Art Stapleton, who covers the New York Giants for the Record. Art, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for the insights.
Thanks a lot, Lance.
You got it. Art Stapleton joining us here this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are now opening up the lines. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. And we start with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Excellent job by Terrell Thomas. He got tricked on the one touchdown. He did go to stop the run, and he poked his nose in the backfield. But other than that mental mistake, physically, he looks awesome. And after watching the game, I say it's football. Why do they call it football? Because the guy used his foot to intercept that pass. So it was actually football or soccer on that play, which was, you know, a fluke. But I wish Paul Dottino was here, because I always asked him what I wanted the Giants to do in the draft was to move up and take one of the elite offensive linemen like Fluke. And everybody disagreed with me. But now, I don't know if they would disagree. And I saw pictures of Fluke and the guy that we drafted, Pugh, side by side doing drills, and Fluke literally dwarfs him.
You're talking about DJ Fluker, right? The one who went to the Chargers. Okay, I just wanted to specify. Gotcha.
Sorry. And there was another guy ranked high. Like, there were two real elite guys. So we would have lost draft picks, but I think that was where the Giants needed to improve. And Deal is going to retire soon. So I feel like, they should have went that route and they moved up. And hopefully it's not going to be this way, but it reminds me of the Arizona Cardinals when they had Kurt Warner and they were 9-7, went to the Super Bowl, but they really didn't have a running game. And it was all like one-dimensional. But I think they will improve, and the fullback will help as he gets better. But those are my only points, and I just want to say it's, you know, Vince, I remember the game against when Vince Young and Kiwanuka hugged him. Remember?
Correct.
And then, then he ran for the – and that wasn't Kiwi's fault because the rules were, like, not specified. And the week before the game was on the line, Kiwi came up with the sack and they threw a penalty on him. But this quarterback reminds me of Vince Young because he's athletic, he's tall. So, of course, he's not as good as Peyton Manning, but he's dangerous in a whole different way. So it's just like another, you know, it's another risk, another scary big task. But this is the week. You know, it's like a playoff week. It's a must win. And I just want to hear your thoughts on the, if you agree, like, had they traded up,
I hear
maybe we'd be better with running, you know, running game. But thanks for taking my call.
You got it. I appreciate you weighing in this morning. Thanks so much, Andrew. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And you can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, Medow. In terms of the Giants trading up to get an offensive lineman, you know, I look at it from the big picture perspective. The struggles through the first two games is not necessarily just on Justin Pugh. And I think everybody needs to keep that in mind. It's basically, as Art laid out, you had a lot of juggling pieces right now. You have a lot of players in and out of the lineup because of injury. And Justin Pugh, I think, for the most part, has held his own. But when he's next to a different guy each and every week, and you have a new center, and Booth is jumping back to guard and center, it's very hard to turn the switch on and off. So the overall inconsistency of the offensive line, to me, is more because of the fact that they haven't had five regular guys in the lineup each and every week, as opposed to not getting a young, up-and-coming offensive lineman in the mix. I think Justin Pugh has the potential to be an impact player and probably will ultimately be David Deal's successor when David Deal is ready to call it a career. To trade up to get an Eric Fisher, for example, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs, or a Luke Jokel, who went to the Jaguars. You know, the Giants are not the type of team that's going to surrender multiple draft picks just to move up. They don't have a track record of doing that. And I don't think it would have been necessary to do that. You know, DJ Fluker went a little bit earlier in the draft. He went to the San Diego Chargers out of Alabama, came from a collegiate program that runs a pro-style offense. So could he have made a huge impact with the Giants? Absolutely. But I don't know if that, once again, would have been the X factor. Because I think Justin Pugh, getting back to the main point here, is going to be a contributor for the Giants. Doesn't have a lot of experience under his belt. With time, he will become acclimated to the NFL. But Pugh is only going to be as effective as the center, the left guard, the right guard, and the left tackle, you name it. It's got to be one cohesive unit. We have yet to see that because you've had a different center throughout the course of the preseason. Booth has been moved around. You know, Beattie really has been the only consistent guy on the O-line because fortunately he hasn't suffered an injury. Chris Snee was coming off off-season hip surgery. I mean, you can name every offensive lineman and point to an injury or a period of time that they were not on the field. It is very hard to have consistency and pass protection in the running game if you don't have the same group out there each and every week. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Greg in Milburn. Greg, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, Greg. What you got?
Look, I'm just sick of it. I'm just pissed at this game. They did not play well at all. I was there. I'm a season ticket holder. This was a very, very pathetic performance in my mind. And the biggest issue I have is that they just missed so many opportunities. They were just so sloppy with the play calling. After the first play, after the gift of Monty Bowles' fumble, you know, the 51-yard pass to Cruz, they settle for a field goal. That's 4 points that they don't get. Myers falling down and Ramble fumbling on the same drive. That was another 4 points you miss. The drive at the end of the half where Eli throws that pass that's supposed to be going out of bounds and in the end just gets picked off when they could have taken the lead near the end of the half, that's another 3 points off the board. The not recovering the fumble after the Jacobs TD, the fluke in INT, it was just getting sloppy. They just clearly, you don't win games when you lose that many 50-50 moments. And it's just, they clearly are missing something. Thankfully, I think this is the toughest stretch in the schedule. The rest of it, we should win our next few games, not including Philly, which is always tough. But this team is just clearly missing something. And I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know if it's the play calling. Regardless, the play calling in the red zone is pretty bad, because you just have Gilbride being as predictable as it gets. They were predictable throughout on offense, to be honest, because you have the offensive line tipping the play calls because of the lack of balance with the running game being so awful. You can tell when the personnel comes on, okay, this is going to be a run, okay, this is going to be a pass. And you can tell based on how the offensive line is lined up. It's ridiculous. How do you win games when you can clearly tell what's about to happen?
Well, you need balance, and I think that's the main point that you were hitting on. You need the offensive line to be more consistent so that they can establish the run, and then if they establish the run and they provide some balance on offense, then you can get a little bit more creative and not try to hand over your plays to the opposition when you get into the red zone, because the red zone struggles hasn't been just documented this season, Greg. It's been an issue the last few seasons.
Yeah, it has been the last few seasons, but here's the other problem. With the personnel on there, there were plays in the red zone where you're taking off nicks and you're going into a goal line formation with another wide receiver out wide. Why are you not keeping nicks in? He's a 6'6" wide receiver. He can automatically drill a double team. It's like when you had Plaxico there. He's a red zone threat based off of the fact that you have a guy who's so huge he can get the ball anywhere he is on the field. You basically can draw a double team just by having him there. How do you take him off and bring in a couple more linemen and make it clear that you're just going to try and pound it in?
Well, but the truth is, Greg, and listen, we could sit here and break down all the different formations that Kevin Gilbride showcased, but if you have a big guy like Brandon Jacobs and you have veteran, experienced offensive linemen, I don't think it's asking too much, Greg, to be able to pound it in from 2 yards out. Whether or not you're showing the defense what you're doing, I think they have the personnel in place that getting 2 yards on the ground is not a huge issue. They should be able to take care of business.
Yeah, they should be able to do it. But 23 yards from 19 carries?
I agree with
23
you.
23 yards from 19 carries.
Inexcusable. Inexcusable. There's really no excuse that you can point.
That's absolutely awful.
You're 100% right. And, Greg, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. That number alone tells the whole storyline. You ran the ball 19 times. All you yielded was 23 yards. I mean, it's really hard to believe that that's what the Giants put out there on Sunday against the Broncos, because it's essentially deja vu all over again. You know, when I had Art Stapleton on earlier in the program of the Record, I said we're talking about the same issues that were prevalent last season. What was the biggest issues last season? No pass rush on defense. They couldn't stop the run. Okay, they've gotten better in terms of stopping the run on defense, but the pass rush is still the missing link. And then on offense, they struggled running the football at times last year. There were some flashes. There was Andre Brown having good games before he got hurt. Ahmad Bradshaw would have a good game here or there. But there wasn't consistency. When you identified the Giants' offense, I don't think you would have said, this is a pounded, grounded-out football team. This is a team that is going to beat you up and win the battle at the line of scrimmage. I don't remember discussing that last season. They were a team that turned to the passing game more often than not because they couldn't win the battle at the line. And unfortunately, through the first two games of the season, it's heading down that route once again. And the other biggest issue that has overshadowed these first two games, and I think Greg summarized it beautifully, has been the self-inflicted wounds, the missed opportunities that I like to call them. And the other play that Greg didn't mention that I'll throw out there, keep in mind, Reuben Randle's in the end zone or is about to step in the end zone, fumbles the football. Granted, they got a penalty, so they were able to continue the drive, but that's another one. And it's not necessarily about, oh, well, if they got a touchdown here, that could have been the difference. It's about momentum. That's what they were lacking against the Denver Broncos. You get a touchdown late in the first half when Eli Manning threw an interception. You get a field goal. You're heading into the locker room with the lead, regardless of whether you get in the end zone or you take the field goal. Knowing that you get the ball to start the third quarter, just think about how momentum can swing in the blink of an eye by just getting one positive play that you can take with you. That was a huge missed opportunity. Had they come through with some points, who knows how the third quarter starts? 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We got Steve in Staten Island. Steve, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Steve. What you got?
All right. Well, you know what? Listen, let me tell you a little bit about what I think here, okay? Listen, I'm not ready to throw this team under the bus. You know, I mean, I'm a fan, and that's how it goes. And I'm not going to be one of those fans that say, oh, they this, they that. You know what? They're playing bad. They are. They're playing sloppy. They are. But here's what's killing me when I watch this team. Okay? You got a team that can't run the ball, a defense that can't stop anybody. I don't care what anyone says. They can't stop anybody. Okay? And yet, I'm looking at this team. They get the ball beginning of the third quarter, and I predict, I swear, I was like, if I could have played the lotto that day, I probably wasn't a streak I would have hit. I said, watch the pressure they put on Eli right now. Lo and behold, it was as if, why bother getting the ball after halftime if you're going to lay an egg like that? My point is, our linebackers, and I've heard nobody talk about them, they're not fast to get to the quarterback. They're not fast on the ball. Our linebacking situation is not what it is. You know, that has to be talked about too. I mean, where is the pressure? You guys talked about it on your show last week, okay? I called in and I said it. You can't let a guy like Peyton get comfortable in the pocket. Did you not think, or did any Giant fan not think, knowing how our defense played, okay, Peyton was just going to get, come on, you got to get in his face. You got to put pressure. You have to make this guy, you got to force him. Look what he, listen, you look at those passes that Eli threw up, okay, that was pressure. All right. Stupid balls to throw up like that, and they were interceptions. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? They didn't let Eli pick his target. They didn't let Eli get comfortable in a pocket. They didn't let Eli, you know, just will the ball to any receiver he wanted to. You got to get in his face. You have to. And I'm looking at this defense, and I'm going to tell you now, Lance, this front four, they're a good front four. I'll put them up against anybody in the league. But I'll tell you now, these guys are going to be burnt out. Because you're putting all the pressure, just like last year, once again, all the pressure on the front four. Front four, front four. Front four couldn't do nothing. You ask any Giant fan that watched that game, okay? Other than Colin Jenkins, who looked like he had his arms around Peyton and couldn't bring him down. You know, and you get to the third quarter to see that. This team can't, this defense, their front four can't do it alone, Lance. They need help. They need some kind of pressure. You got these linebackers that... You know, I don't understand it. I mean, this. Listen, again, you know, I'm just a crazy Giant fan who bleeds blue and loves this team, and that's just the way it goes. But you can't say I'm wrong. Our linebacking core, for some reason, just it, again, like last year, is not getting the job done on what they're supposed to do. And you know what? It's only going to get worse because now you got Cam, and I think they could beat Carolina. I think they could. Okay, Cam Newton, yeah, he scrambles. But you know what? I think they can beat him, Carolina. I think they can win the next two, maybe three in a row and get a little streak going.
Well, listen, you can't overlook Carolina. And, Steve, appreciate the phone call. I think you threw out a number of good points, and I'll try to build off of them because Carolina has a very good defense. You know, they don't necessarily have a lot of big names on that defense. But speaking of the linebacking core, Steve, that stands out to me with respect to this Carolina Panthers team. The Beasons, the Keekleys of the world, these guys are playmakers. And you're right. That's what the Giants are lacking right now. I think the linebackers got sealed off on those two No'Shawn Moreno running plays. Justin Tuck got sealed off on one of the plays, too. That was an issue. But I disagree with the fact that the front four hasn't done enough all by itself. Because you alluded to the fact that Cullen Jenkins had Peyton Manning wrapped up, couldn't bring him down. Sean Rogers had Peyton Manning wrapped up, couldn't bring him down. They're getting there. The problem is they're not finishing. Finishing. That's the key word if I was to describe this front four. It's not just getting to the quarterback. It's not just roughing him up. It's not just hitting him. It's bringing him down and completing the play. And that was something that they couldn't fully execute on Sunday. And that's something that they're going to need to do moving forward. Now, Cam is a mobile quarterback. He's going to bring a completely different element to the table than what Manning just brought. See, they have played three different quarterbacks over the first 3 weeks, and you could point to each and every quarterback having a little bit something different. Tony Romo, runs out of the pocket, but also can stay in the pocket. Manning, typically a pocket guy. Cam's a guy, he's going to run all over the place. You give him holes, you give him alleys, he's going to take full advantage of that. So this is going to be another adjustment for this Giants defense. Does the front four need to get better? Does it need to have a consistent pass rush? Absolutely. Does the linebacker core have to do much more? Absolutely. But you also need to understand JPP is still trying to get back to full health. Once he gets his legs back underneath him, I think that should ultimately help enhance and improve the pass rush. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513 as we welcome John Schmelk into the program. John will be providing some nuggets a bit later on the program. But let's, before we bring John on, we want to get some more phone calls.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's try to bang out some of these callers, and we go to our good friend Victor in Texas. Victor, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Victor. Victor, thanks for calling. Are you still in South Korea, I would assume?
Yeah. John, I don't get back until like June of next year. So
wow, that's...
I'm over here for
well,
a while.
Best of luck out there, man. Stay safe.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know what? Let's just say, you know, let's speak about what, you know, let's just put the elephant in the room out there, you know. I mean, let's just say the Giants didn't get better and everybody around us got better. Everybody in this league got better than us. I mean, if you look at the offensive lines that we're facing, they're all athletic. Look at the defenses, defensive lines, the offensive lines are facing. They're all athletic. Our next six games, Chiefs, Eagles, Bears, Vikings, Eagles, these are some pretty athletic and aggressive defensive lines and offensive lines. And looking at this last game.
Go ahead, Victor.
Looks like we apparently lost Victor. All right, if Victor has an opportunity.
You hear me?
Oh, yeah, no,
Victor, we got you.
Vic, yeah, you were making a point about when you're looking
at
this.
No, we lost him.
Okay,
we apparently lost
Victor, so we apologize for some of these technical difficulties. And I know some
Phone lines from the Far East to the U.S. can sometimes be a little spotty. It
Absolutely.
Happens.
So let's continue, and let's hope that Christian out in Long Island has a better connection. Christian, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Christian.
I was wondering, with Charles Godfrey, their safety going and out for the season, do you see us taking more of a pass attack or ground and pound and see where it goes, which opens up which first?
Christian, I think this is going to be a get-healthy type of game for Eli Manning and this passing attack. Now, there is one trick in this little mess here, and that's the Carolina front seven is actually very, very strong. They can get to the quarterback. Hardy's a good pass rusher. Charles Johnson's a good pass rusher. Star Luatui, one of the guys they drafted this year, can get to the quarterback. Kawan Short, their second-round pick, is a pretty good athlete at defensive tackle. So the Panthers can rush the passer now. They can get to Eli Manning. But if this offensive line, running backs and tight ends, can give Eli Manning time to throw the ball, I see a lot of mismatches in that secondary area. I think the Giants could really do some serious damage through the air against the Carolina Panthers.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right, Christian.
All right, thanks,
appreciate
Christian.
The phone call.
And I want to go back to what Victor said for a second, Lance, real quick. In terms of the Giants not getting better, I do think they got better in three distinct areas now. I think they got better stopping the run at defensive tackle. That's number one. I think they're better in the secondary with a healthy Terrell Thomas coming back and Aaron Ross being in the mix, giving them a lot more depth. And I think Ryan Mundy, quite frankly, could be an upgraded safety, too. I think he's played extremely well. I think he's been very impressive. And then three, just having Ruben Randall in his second year and having Akeem Nicks back healthy, I think they're better in the wide receiver core. And Brandon Myers is probably a better receiving tight end than Martellus Bennett. So I think he got better through the air on offense. I think he got better at defensive tackle on defense, stopping the run. And he got better in the secondary. So the Giants did get better in some places. Now, without OC, are they quite as good rushing the passer? Pierre Paul off the back injury? Right now, probably not. Maybe they can get better. Are they better in the offensive line? Probably not. That's fair, too. Are they better at linebacker? No, they aren't. Running back remains to be seen if David Wilson can get his ball control issues under control. But, look, I think all these teams in the NFC East have flaws. They're all flawed teams. And that's why the team that wins the division is probably going to do a 9 or 10 wins. That's how it goes.
It's funny. We were talking about how the NFC East is one of the strongest divisions in the NFL. Now everybody, after 2 weeks, is saying that it's probably one of the weakest divisions, given that everybody lost this past weekend. The Redskins and Eagles have defensive issues. The Cowboys have been fairly up and down, at least through the first two games. And the Giants, we know where they stand. So who knows how this division is going to play out. We were talking about 10, 11 wins. John, you may be able to get 9 wins and win this division now.
Hey, look, last year came down to the last week of the year, 9 wins almost got you in, 10 wins ended up being the magic number, but look, the NFC East is going to be a mess. The Redskins could easily turn this around and still finish in first place. The Giants could do the same thing. The Eagles or Cowboys could wind up in last. Look, if anybody thinks they know what's going to happen in the NFC East, they're lying to you. Nobody knows. It's going to be a mess. And quite frankly, I think both of us know this deep down. It's going to go down to the last week of the year when the Giants play the Redskins and the Cowboys play the Eagles. We're not going to know until week 17 who's winning this division.
That's been the trend that this division has followed the last few seasons. What we do know is that the phone connections from an international perspective are improving.
He's back.
And Victor is back by popular demand. Victor, what's happening?
Hey, sorry about that. So I'll be brief. Hey, John, I totally agree with you. I think we did get better, but I think we just got better at depth.
Okay.
I think our depth is a lot better. But I figured the play, if it's not the players, then it's the play calling. Because if you have good players, then, you know, you should play good. And if you have bad players, then the scheme will probably help you out. But something's arise there. It's either the scheme or the players not playing well. Because that defense was just getting beat. It was getting gashed. I don't know if it was a scheme that Perry Fuel just didn't want to get beat deep and he was giving up yards. Because we always had that bend, don't break mentality as soon as we get into the red zone. And the defensive line, to me, just didn't give enough push. And I didn't see a lot of aggressiveness coming off the edge. And that just let Peyton Manning – Peyton Manning is not going to run anywhere. Let's be honest. The dude is like – he's sitting in a cement pocket. He's not going to run. But he is going to move around in like three steps, and he's going to throw the ball. So pressure needed to come off that edge so he can push it to where we got better at in the interior line. Now, the offensive line – I can't blame a lot on the running game, on the running backs, because the offensive line did not put any holes together at all.
That's
and
fair.
Not open up anything. I think Chris Snee loved the guy, man. I think he's getting up there. I think it's taking its toll on him. And we need to get younger in that area. We need to start getting, you know, we need to start getting other people in, you know, because everybody else is getting better around us in those areas, and we're sitting there keeping the same people. I just think the offensive line needs to get a little younger, but we need to have that maturity there to bring those young guys on. And I think our wide receiver group, I mean, I was waiting for Reuben Randle to break out in this game because I figured the Broncos were going to lock up Cruz and Nix, and I was waiting for him to do his thing and get open. But he just couldn't do it. He couldn't break away from a lot of these receivers, and he didn't rise to the occasion on this. And as far as Eli Manning, I just think there was a lot of pressure on him. Yes, but there were some decisions that Eli made in that game that just had me scratching my head. I said, okay, Eli, let's just get 3 points before we go into the half. But then you throw an interception. And then you throw interceptions, uncalled for interceptions. I just look at this team, and I see, like I said, the next six games, gentlemen, is going to show, you know, how tough this team is because, like I said, mobile quarterbacks are coming up. You got Michael Vick, we're playing twice. You got LeSean McCoy, we're playing twice. You got the Carolina Panthers. You got the Vikings. I mean, this is going to be something. And you got the Chiefs.
Yeah, Alex.
No, that defense is no joke.
And Victor, don't forget at Chicago, the Bears have shown they're a much better team this year protecting Jay Cutler. I think the Bears could be a playoff team and be very dangerous. They're tough to beat in Chicago.
And definitely, I mean, they have a newfound, you know, type of vigor with them. Those guys are, you know, they're feeling themselves now. And we're down in an 0-2 hole right now. So it's all to these players. And like I said, I'm a diehard Giants fan, but I'm going to give it to you raw and uncut, just like I see it.
Thanks, Victor.
We need to get better in those areas.
All right, Victor. Appreciate you weighing in, and be safe overseas as we appreciate your service to this country. Just piggybacking off of Victor's point about wanting to see a little bit more out of Reuben Randle, I think that was more of a reflection, John, on the aggressiveness, and we talked about this yesterday, of the Broncos secondary. They were jamming guys at the line. That's why they got a lot of penalties.
Yeah,
they
I don't know how many
extremely overly
how
aggressive.
Many pass interferences did Randle draw in that game? He drew a couple, right?
He was in the mix. I could look back at the game log and see.
Yeah, it's
which
not
one
that important. But look,
Randle was involved.
He was targeted 9 times, only made 3 receptions, so obviously not a great percentage.
But I think part of that was the fact that the Broncos secondary wasn't playing back and saying we're going to let the Giants just run whatever route they want. We're going to test these guys.
Yeah, I want to go back to what Victor said, too, about the defense, talking about how you got to get more pressure off the edge on Peyton, and it's either, you know, the scheme or the players not doing their job. Well, quite frankly, a lot of it is you're playing against Peyton Manning. You're playing against a damn good football team and maybe the best regular season quarterback in the history of the NFL. It's not easy to stop these guys. I'm not trying to give the defense a pass for allowing 40 points here. I'm not trying to do that. It's a big number. But keep in mind, one of those was a special teams touchdown. Turnovers by the offense contribute to some of that. But I can't kill the defense or giving up points to Dallas and Denver, considering the circumstances they were put in and the talent on the other side of the ball. Now, there's plenty of stuff you can get annoyed at. Not rushing the passer is one of them. But remember, the Broncos also have an excellent offensive line. Ryan Clady is a great blocker. Vasquez, Ramirez, Beatles. They got some great players on that offensive line. So I can't kill the defense too much just because I know what they're going against. The Broncos put up points on everybody. It's not just the Giants.
And the Giants apparently did a favor to all of Denver's upcoming opponents because word is that Clady now has a Lisfranc sprain and could miss
3 to 4 weeks, right?
He has talk now. He may miss the rest of the regular season.
Oh, is that true?
That was one of the latest
reports.
Is
it a tear or a sprain?
They're not. They don't know the details. I think he's going to undergo further tests.
That would be a big, big loss for the Broncos. I know he had the foot injury. I didn't hear it could be a year-long deal.
Talking about Peyton Manning's blind side. You don't want to lose a Pro Bowler when it comes to protecting.
Like Victor said, Payne's not exactly running away from anybody in that pocket.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jim in Alabama. Jim, welcome to the program. What you got?
Yeah, I noticed that last week we talked a lot about who was going to play middle linebacker and the loss of Dan Connor. Then I saw the Giants come out in 5-2 or nickel.
Yep.
And I was trying to figure out whether that was because of the Broncos' offense, or was that because we're just trying to put our best players on the field if we're weak at linebacker? Terrell Thomas has been playing great, and I wonder, is that a strategy you guys think is going to continue down the line?
Well, let me put it this
way. Because of Peyton?
I'll put it this way. I think even if Dan Connor was healthy, I think you would have seen a whole lot of nickel with four defensive linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. I think you would have seen a lot of that anyway, just because the Broncos' typical formation is 11, where you have one running back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. That's what their normal base offense is. They generally don't have a fullback in the game. So to match up, you have to go nickel in those circumstances. However, I do agree that the Giants' best personnel is their nickel package, and that's when they have their best players in the field. However, I think regardless of who the middle linebacker was, you would have seen a lot of nickel against Denver.
And I think you are going to see it moving forward,
nickel?
Too. I'm sorry, continue.
Can we get away with playing nickel all the time because those are our best players? Or are we going to get beat on the run if we try that?
I think you will be beat on the run eventually. I don't know if you want to show it all the time. I think they'll show it more often than not because you have some active secondary players that have been very aggressive and have shown that they can help fill some holes and fill some gaps. But at the end of the day, Jim, you're going to need three linebackers on the field at times if you want to be a consistent run stopper.
Yeah, and Jim, this week is a week you're going to see a lot of 4-3 base defense. The Panthers want to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, do a little play action, get the ball down the field. This is a much different matchup than what you had last week against Denver. The Panthers are much more traditional offense, ball control, run the football in the trenches, so you will have to have that middle linebacker on the field. That being said, I think the Giants can probably get away with a little bit more nickel this year than they did last year as their base defense, quote-unquote, because they've added so much size at defensive tackle, and that will help you a lot in the run game.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's really helpful. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. And you have to take into consideration the type of offenses that they're going to see. You know, you mentioned Carolina showcases you a little bit different scheme than what Denver does. Carolina is not going to go 3-4 wide. They just don't have the personnel. Past Steve Smith and Greg Olsen, they're struggling to find that third option. Brandon LaFell has not been consistent. Dominic Hixon hasn't.
He's barely
been
played.
Able to stay healthy, and he also hasn't been on the field, and the running backs have been banged up. So they're not going to spread you out like the Broncos are. But down the road, when you see the Bears, for example, that could be a team that's going to spread you out.
Sure.
So it is going to vary from week to week.
Not to mention Philadelphia.
That's another perfect example. They'll spread you out five wide if they could.
And the Chiefs more like the Panthers. You're going to see two more traditional offense the next 2 weeks with the Panthers and the Chiefs. But then you're going to get spread out with Philly. Like you said, you're going to get spread out with Chicago. You get Philly again 2 weeks after that. And then you have Minnesota, the more traditional running game. So really, you're split in half the next six games. And look, Andy Reid will spread you out a little bit too now. You know, he likes to spread the ball around. They use Dexter McCluster as that kind of slot wide receiver, swing guy as a running back and a wide receiver. You know, you got Dwayne Bowe. You have Anthony a tight end Fasano. That can play a little bit, Anthony Fasano. Jamaal Charles is a very good receiver out of the backfield, so they will spread you out a little bit. But the Giants will have a good mix of challenges over their next six games.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. We'll take a look at your tweets a little bit later on in the program. Follow and interact with us at Schmelk, at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W.
Wait, hold on a second. You didn't even spell out Schmelk. Like,
that's an
easy name to spell.
You are all over Giants.com. I think most people know how to spell your name. You get the lower thirds on the video features. Come on, give me a break.
Well, Lance is jealous of the lower thirds.
I'm not jealous.
It sounds like you're a little jealous.
You know, you and your...
Well, Schmelk, if you were to spell Schmelk phonetically, you would probably spell it either S-C-H or S-H-M-E-L-K. Because it sounds like there's only one E, but there's actually two. It's a little tricky. It's actually S-C-H-M-E-E. Okay.
So what we learned from this is now you're going to adopt my game plan, which is where you give out your Twitter handle, but you also provide the audience with the correct spelling.
I don't think I need to do anything. I've never spelled my Twitter handle out, but I thought since you
concerned.
Are so... No, you are concerned. So concerned with people having the Twitter handle spelled correctly, I thought you'd only not be concerned about your own Twitter handle, but you'd be concerned about your co-host Twitter handle as well. But we get down to the basic facts here where Lance is really just all about himself.
Correct, and I'm not going to deny that. Considering you have your hands in other sports teams and you've gained other followers through other venues, the last thing you need is additional followers. We'll leave it at that. Let's go back to the lines. We got Jay in D.C. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Jay?
I haven't been on in a while. First, I want to say about the defense. I don't understand how folks are complaining so much about the defense. To me, I think the defense played very, very, very good against Peyton Manning. And to be honest with you, if we had the D-line to go with it, we would have been great. And I think if we can correct our defensive line, our defense would be one of the top three defenses in the NFL today. Also, I want to say this is what makes me upset about the Giants. When I look at the Giants game, and I've been a fan for years, when I look at their games, they always make little dumb mistakes. It's like we always shoot ourselves in the foot. I look at the Denver game, even with the four turnovers, we shot ourselves in the foot. The Brandon Myers play, like, what is it? The guy failed. Like, it was clearly a touchdown. And then the play right after that, Ruben Randall fumbles the football in the end zone. Thank God it was a penalty, because there's no telling what the game would have been then. I don't even fault Eli for his interception. A lot of folks going on Eli, but that's just how he plays. He's been that way for years. And I think it's the system that Eli's in why it's like that. When you don't have a running game, the guy can put up over 49 or 50 attempts throwing. You're going to get some picks out of that. And that's just how I look at it.
You're right.
I
agree with you, Jay. You put the ball through the air 45 to 50 times, you're going to increase your chances of turning the ball over. And you're right. In terms of Eli Manning's 7 interceptions, and we talked about this in great detail yesterday, you really have to look at them and put them in perspective. You've got one that was fluky, which was off the foot of a Broncos defender. You have a late interception when Manning is just trying to do something to ignite this offense. And then even going back to the Cowboys game, you have the deflection off of Darrell Scott. So there's at least three or four that weren't necessarily bad decisions by Manning. I would classify them as bad breaks.
As Eli said in his when he spoke to the media yesterday, each interception has its own story, and it's hard to really classify them all into one big group.
And what makes me upset is that how we shoot ourselves in the foot. It's like we beat ourselves when we play teams. Because we are a good team. I think we have everything we need. The O-line need to be fixed, though. The O-line can get, a little better. But that's coachable. You can coach that. And I think we have all the pieces we have a championship team, I think. I just think if we slack up on the mistakes on our end, we'll be a great team.
All right, Jay, appreciate the call.
You guys go, and thanks for letting me go and get my point across. All right,
thanks, Jay. Hey, I want to touch on the first thing Jay said. I think he raised a good point, and I was thinking about this the last couple of days a little bit. If I had to pick one player that's the most important player to the Giants the rest of this season, Lance, who do you think? Who would it be for you? I know who it is for me.
Say that again.
One player that you think is the most important for the Giants to be a threat to win the Super Bowl or win the division. I'll use it that simple. What player do you think is most essential to this team?
I would probably have to go to the defense.
Okay. I'm on the defensive side of the ball there, too. I know who my guy is. Who would yours be?
My guy is JPP.
If Jason Pierre-Paul can be that dominant pass rusher he was 2 years ago. Now, last year he wasn't. If he can be the player he was 2 years ago and get his 16, 17 sacks, this Giants defense, with the way the secondary's playing and the way the tackles are stopping the run, are going to be a real formidable force to deal with. But if he doesn't get back to the way he used to be, you know, Justin Tuck's been active, but look, he's not a 14, 15 sack guy. Never has been. He's going to be around 8 to 10. Kiwanuka has never shown he's a 13, 14, you know, sack guy a year. You need JPP to be that guy. You need him to be a difference maker on that defensive line. If he can do that, look out. This defense could be, I think, a top 5 defense, top 10 defense. But if he isn't, and you're lacking that pass rush, you can't get to the quarterback with your front four, I don't care how good your secondary is. It's not going to matter.
They go hand in hand. But the fact that the secondary is playing at such a high level, John, like you said, it's a scary thought. If they can get the pass rush near the level of where the secondary is playing, look out, because you're going to have a dual force on defense. But you need to get JPP back to full health, and you need everybody to be in sync in terms of your defensive tackles and your defensive ends. I don't think they've been on the field enough to have that consistency.
Do you think we're overrating how well the secondary is playing a little bit just by looking at the numbers? Because I've said it the same way you have. I've said the defense has played extremely well the first 2 weeks, but, you know, Peyton Manning threw for 300 yards. Tony Romo threw for 300 yards.
But they had to earn that. There weren't deep bombs down the field. Keep that in mind. Tony Romo did not beat the Giants with a huge throw down the field to Dez Bryant or Miles Austin. A lot of it was within, I would say, the 10 to 20 yard range. Same thing with the Broncos.
They've done a good job of not having those secondary communication lapses or critical errors that led to big plays down the field.
That happened time again last season.
Last 2-3 years that's happened. You're right. They have pretty much eliminated that from the game. I think that's a good point. I can't argue that.
So that's why you have to give the secondary credit.
That's fair.
Would they be put in a better position to succeed even more if they get to the quarterback? Absolutely. But given the fact that the pass rush has been lacking at times, I don't think you could ask for anything more out of your secondary. Let's head back to the lines. We go to our good friend Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff.
This thing with, not scoring touchdowns and just settling for field goals, you know, in the red zone or the so-called green zone, as a coach likes to say, this has been an ongoing issue for the past few seasons now. And, you know, I heard Eli yesterday on talking to Francesa, and, you know, it's blah, 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 blah. We got to do better doing this, da 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 da. Well, I mean, what is it? Does it come down to the play calling being no good or the play calling being okay?
Jeff, you got to run.
The players are no good.
You got to run.
The players are okay.
You got to run the football, Jeff. If you want to have success in goal-to-goal situations, your offensive line has got to get a push. You've got to be able to do a power running game and push the ball into the end zone. I'll bring up the exact same scenario we talked about yesterday. 2nd and 3 at the 6-yard line yesterday, the Giants had to pass twice to try to get into the end zone because they knew they could not run the football to get that first down. That's a big, big problem.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying for a zillion years, I mean, if you can run the football successfully when you need to, that is to say for, you know, four yards a clip or so, if you can do that whenever you need to, you're going to be playing great ball control and you're not going to lose a whole lot of games. And, you know, my feeling going into this game with the Denver was that if the Giants can't run the ball successfully, then they're not going to have a chance to win. So, I don't know. It's really discouraging, you know. I mean, it really is. And Brandon Jacobs succeeded his whole career in rushing yards with the 49ers, so I guess he had a really good day. Well, you guys have a good day, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
Brandon Jacobs, 7 carries, 4 yards, 19 for 23. You look at the running game numbers, and it's hard to make sense of them.
Oh, they're putrid. You can make sense of them. They're terrible.
Well,
I mean, they're just bad.
I guess I was trying to find the euphemism at this point because it's just so hard to find the right word to describe it.
Look, 7 out of 19 runs for 1-0 or negative yards, 6 out of the 19 for 0 or negative yards. You're not winning that way. Well, Brandon Jacobs had 1 run for 5 yards. His other 6 carries were for a total of 1?
Negative one.
I mean, come on. You can't win football games that way, dude. You can't.
No penetration by the offensive line, and therefore you're not going to get penetration from your running backs.
They're allowing penetration by the defensive line. I mean, guys are taking handoffs in the backfield pretty much. I mean, a couple times, Brandon Jacobs, David Olsen get the ball, and they're getting hit. Got to do better.
That falls on the O-line. It falls on the fullback play, too. Once they get Hynoski back to full strength, hopefully that will help improve this category because it's been a major issue in terms of them opening holes and getting the running game going. Let's go back to the lines. We go to J.D. in Virginia. J.D., what's happening?
Fellas. How y'all doing today?
J.D., what's up, bud? Good to see you from you.
Hey, man. How's everything been, Mr. Smoke?
Everything's good, J.D.
Hey, that's good. And yes, Mr. Metal, how's everything going with you, too, sir?
Doing very well, J.D. Appreciate that. What you got?
Hey, well, listen. First things first, Mr. Smoke, I do want to apologize for Mr. Lance's little sign of hateration. But you know what? We digress. but all in all, first things first, I would love for somebody to light a fire underneath that offensive line's behind. Blast somebody on that offensive line. I mean, hit somebody instead of – because it seems like they're the ones that's getting pushed back. I'm happy to see Brandon Jacobs back because, of course, that's an instant inferno of just energy and just passion for the game. And I love seeing he's always been a fan of this dude. David Wilson, he's an excellent back. Give the man a hole. Give the man a chance to run and show his speed. But he can't take his first three steps and then automatically he has somebody in his face.
Yep.
But the main thing is, the defense is doing their job. They can't really knock the defense because think about it. They held the Broncos. You're getting chances. Bottom line, the offense is getting chances.
They are.
They're getting chances, and nobody is scoring. And these field goals are not doing it. They're not. I mean, think about it. 8 for 15. So you mean to tell me there are 7 chances that the offense had to make some plays? Come on. They've got to get better. Of course, we can say touchdowns over field goals, touchdowns over field goals, but it's all about execution. It's all about energy. And I remember Antero Rose said he doesn't see passion. He doesn't see any kind of passion on his side of the field. And that's pretty much true. I mean, there's some people, you know, whatever you may feel about Antero, okay, fine, but that's real. If you don't have any kind of passion, you don't have any kind of fire that, hey, you know, we are the New York Football Giants, and there's a reason. It's a standard that we set here for championships. And right now they really need to maintain that standard, and they're not there. And they need to get their weight up, and they need to hit – I'm sorry. I feel like I'm in the dang old locker room trying to tell them something. But bottom line is this. They really need to get a fire lit underneath them and really play Giant football because – truth be told, there are a lot of fans out there, including me, that consider these dudes their gladiators. That on Sunday, that they wait the whole year, whole off season, spend millions of dollars to go out to the training camps and see them play, and you know what I'm saying? They are their personal gladiators. That Monday morning, they're the first thing that people talk to them about. That's when two people of opposite teams can look dead at each other in the face and literally not say a word, but just the look that they have in each other's eyes is like they're talking junk about another person's team. So
thanks,
I
JD.
I want the Giants to know that they're our gladiators.
All right,
appreciate
JD.
The call, man.
Thanks so much.
It's tough to judge passion sometimes because when you're losing, you don't look that enthusiastic. It's kind of just the nature of the beast. It's kind of how it works, you know? However, I want to go back to the first thing he said, how the offensive line needs a little passion, needs a little aggressiveness and a tendency to hit people. Here's where I'm worried. It might not be an issue of where it's passion, intensity, and you know all that sort of stuff. I mean, this is the scary area you get into. Maybe these guys just aren't good enough anymore. You know, you have mixing and matching. Chris Knee's coming off a hip surgery. He doesn't look like the same guy to me. He does not look healthy. You know, Will Beattie is what he is. He's a good pass protector. He's never been a great guy that's going to be real physical in the run game. Justin Pusinoff is a rookie right tackle. He's learning on the job. He's not going to be a dominant player right away. You know, Kevin Booth's solid in there. But do you really have dominant offensive linemen that can dominate the game? I'm not sure those guys are on the team right now.
But you have enough talent to have balance.
Oh, sure. Sure you do.
I'll leave it at that.
No, you have to do. Look, and look. Physicality and individual skill can, you know, get you so far. And that's part of it, yes, no doubt about it. Don't disagree with any of that. But some of these things are mental mistakes, screw-ups, that even if you aren't a great physical player where you're, you know, you have all the measurables that make you a dominant individual, you know, as opposed to some other players who, you know, do the best with the skills that they have. If you're not executing your assignment, and anybody can execute their assignment, doesn't matter how skilled you are. And right now, and Eli talked about it yesterday in the locker room, where it's not where everybody's screwing up on the same play. Each play, there seems to be one guy that just does something small wrong that screws the whole thing up. So they just got to clean up those mistakes, and they'll be good enough where the Giants can succeed. They just haven't been the first 2 weeks.
And getting back to your offensive line point, John, I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, these are almost like two preseason games for this O-line.
Playing together.
They barely had opportunities to be on the same field at the same time during the course of those four preseason games.
Fair.
It's unfortunate. You can't afford to treat these games like preseason games. But the bottom line is, until they get two or three more games under their belt, it may not improve drastically. It's going to take some time, especially when you have a rookie at that tackle spot. And then maybe when you get David Deal back, you'll have enough versatility and experience to have that swing tackle, which they had the benefit of with Sean Locklear, and that's something I think they're lacking right now.
Hey, look, the Giants don't need to be great on the offensive line. They don't need to be a top-five offensive line in football. They just need to be good enough to keep defenses honest and keep their quarterback protected and not let Eli Manning get the you-know-what beat out of him in every game. If they can do that, this offense is going to be more than fine. It's going to be one of the best offenses in football.
And your decision-making improves. They are capable to put up 30 to 35 points on the board, and they're capable of their defense holding the opponents to less than that.
And then the turnovers disappear.
You have balance on offense, you're not going to put the ball in harm's way.
Yep.
The numbers show that. It's not just Eli Manning, it's Tom Brady and Drew Brees and every other big-name quarterback.
Every quarterback in football, you need help. You guys can't do it on their own. Look at Tony Romo the last few years with no running game, what happened. Look at Drew Brees last year when he had no running game. It's not just Eli Manning, folks. It's these turnovers and his mistakes are dictated by the circumstances that he's put in based on the fact you have no balance and you can't run the football.
And then you become predictable to defenses.
No question.
Because defenses know you're going to put the ball through the air.
Hey, look, we talked about it. The Giants could get away with playing their nickel because of the Broncos. Why would a team ever be in their 4-3 base defense against the Giants when they can't run the football? Never. I wouldn't be. What's the point? If you can't get hurt through the run, put one linebacker out there. Play seven defensive backs.
You know they're going to give up on the run, and you know that Eli Manning is going to utilize his three or four weapons in the receiving game.
Exactly.
And that's what your game plan to stop. All right, that'll wrap up things for us here on this Tuesday morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live, a show that comes to you each and every weekday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. John and I will be back Friday to preview the Panthers and get you set up for this weekend's game. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino will be with you the next 2 days, so stay tuned for that. Appreciate the calls. Appreciate all the comments on Twitter. For those of you who we did not get to address on Twitter, we'll try to do that as we continue the conversation off the air. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Meadow. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.